Hey, this is Miss Melis, the bathtub mermaid, and you are listening to Tales from the Tub. It's the 16th of September, 2015. On crayons. A box of new crayons. Now they're all pointy, lined up in order, bright and perfect. Soon, there'll be a bunch of ground down, rounded, indistinguishable stumps, missing their wrappers and smudged with other colors. Sometimes, life seems unbearably tragic. Bill Watterson. I've been in love with crayons ever since I can remember. The first box I remember having is the child-sized Basic 8, which were large and long and only half-round like a bunch of wax logs, split for easy use and wrapped in colorful paper. They are supposed to be easier for young children, those who haven't yet developed fine motor skills, to handle. You know you're growing up when those fat coloring sticks become too heavy, the tips too large for the work you want to do. And yet, there's this magical quality they have of being bold and definite and giving you the ability to cover an entire piece of paper with one arc. Bittersweet. Raw umber. Burnt sienna. As I grew older, probably beginning in kindergarten, my life changed. Our list of school supplies began to include personal boxes of crayons, or, in the wake of budget cuts, teachers would ask every child to bring in boxes of tissues, boxes of crayons, glue, etc., and everything would be shared among the community in the classroom. I never went to grade school in California, where I lived for many years, and I never went to grade school in Texas, so I don't know how the schools here handle school supplies. I suspect that children get long lists of things they're not supposed to bring, rather than lists of things to share. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. What I do remember is that the crayons were always prized possessions, even when we were probably too old to care. But are you ever really too old to care? Magenta, maroon, mulberry. I am 45 years old, and I am the proud owner of a 96-pack of Crayola crayons, which, because it's really old, contains not only the 16 fluorescent colors that were added several years ago, but also 16 colors that don't even have names, or didn't at the time. I never followed the story to find out what names were given. What I do know is this is the in-between box. It's the one where they started phasing out all the colors I'd grown up with and started adding new ones like wild strawberry and jungle green. Now, I don't have a problem with those new colors. They're fabulous specific colors for fabulous specific things. But why do we have to get rid of the old ones too? Cornflower, cerulean, aquamarine. What I love about crayons, aside from the artistic possibility, and I'm saying this, of course, as a person who hoards stationery and hoards pens and collects art supplies but does not actually have the capability of making visual art. I wish I did. I lack a synapse between my brain and my hands that disallows me from having any kind of transfer process. I love art. I can't make art. Nevertheless, one of the things I love about crayons, aside from that artistic possibility, is how they affect all my other senses. I love to look at them lined up, pointy, like callow young men waiting for their first dates when they're a brand new box. I like the way they smell, kind of waxy and papery and a little bit metallic, and how that smell kind of almost coats the back of your throat and becomes a flavor. I like the texture of the construction paper wrapping. I remember being yelled at for taking the paper off so that you could twirl the side of the crayon against really nice, high linen content, scratchy paper. I never liked newsprint. I still don't like newsprint. But I love art paper. I liked actually to write on art paper the same way that when I very infrequently wrote poetry, I used to write it on graph paper, but across the grid squares because I had to subvert the grid. I remember tasting the wax that does not melt in your mouth, no matter what color you're looking at. I think every kid tastes a crayon at some point in their life. In one of my, we'll call it wicked because it was done with affection, periods, I used to tease a colorblind friend by removing the wrappers from crayons and saying, "So which one's blue and which one's purple?" The fact that we never actually dated is probably a result of this activity. It could also be related to the fact that we were much better as friends and non-biological siblings than we ever would have been at anything else. I am a brand whore about very few things. Feminine hygiene products, brands of mayonnaise, pasta and pasta sauce, and crayons. For me, Crayola is the only brand. I raise a flag of tribute to Binny and Smith. I have tried other brands. I don't like them. I don't know if it's that they use weaker pigment or more wax or what, but they don't smell right, and the colors are never true. They always seem like cheap knockoff ripoffs of good crayons, like the kinds of crayons you would get if you could sell them out of the back of a car without them melting, sort of the way people sell knockoff purses and perfumes. Hey, look, I've got this box for you. It's got 16 brand new colors. Yeah, but it doesn't say Crayola. It says Crayola or Rayola or something like that. Yeah, but I'll sell you it cheap, lady. It never works. I think the names of colors are at the edge, between where language fails and where it's at its most powerful. A.S. by it. The Bathtub Mermaid Tales from the Tub is written and produced by Melissa A. Bartell, and unless otherwise expressly stated, is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. It's recorded and produced using a combination of the Boss Jock app for iPad and Audacity. Music for The Bathtub Mermaid is provided by Mevio's Music Alley, a great resource for PodSafe music. Visit them at music.mevio.com. The opening song is Soap in a Bathtub by Stony. The closing song is You Can Use My Bathtub by Little Tom. For show notes, links, and contact information, visit my website, www.bathtubmermaid.com, or check me out on Twitter, at Melisse, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E. You can also shoot me an email, Melisse, spelled the same way, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, at me.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.
Steam is drifting into the night. It's cold outside. You're coming off a scary street. On inside, well, I know how it feels, babe, to feel unclean. Most everybody knows to feel that stain so deep inside. Still it shows, but you can use my bathtub. Understand, you can use my bathtub. Yes, you can.